Birdsong by Sebastian Foakes with Toby Stevens and Sophie Ward. Dramatized in three parts by Nick Stafford. Part one.
Spring 1910 in the city of Amiens on the River Somme. Stephen Raisford's metal trunk has been sent ahead. If I stand on tiptoe, I can see the boulevard marked by lime trees. Railway tickets. Notebook. Pocket knife.
Monsieur Raisford.
Monsieur, your seat is here.
This is my wife, Monsieur Raisford.
Monsieur Azer, madame.
And this is Lisette.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
And Gregoire.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
Eat, eat.
Thank you.
Did you have a good journey?
Yes, thank you.
We've finished eating.
Gregoire.
How old are you?
Gregoire.
It doesn't matter. 20.
Do you drink wine?
Thank you.
There. So, what do you know about textiles?
A little. I've worked in the business for nearly 4 years, though mostly dealing with financial matters. My employer wants me to understand more of the manufacturing process.
My men claim that they're losing their jobs because we have introduced machinery. But if we cannot compete with our competitors in Spain and England, then we have no hope. Good old Bérard, on the dot as usual. Good evening, everyone.
Monsieur.
This is our English guest, Monsieur Raisford.
Monsieur.
Monsieur, madame.
Monsieur.
Time for bed, children.
How does one spell your name, monsieur?
W-R-A-Y-S-F-O-R-D.
Say goodnight.
Bonsoir.
Sleep well.
Brandy for you, Bérard. Yeah. And for you, madame, a little tisane, I think.
Yes, please.
Isabel, ring for coffee also, please.
Now, before you go any further, I have some bad news. The dyers have called for a strike to begin tomorrow.
I thought their meeting was tomorrow.
It was brought forward to today. I don't like to bring you bad tidings, my dear René. At least I suppose it won't affect your factory immediately.
But how long will it go on? We shall run out of material.
There it is. There it is.
One thing after another.
How did you travel, monsieur?
By train.
We are a great junction here. Trains to Paris, to Lille, to Boulogne. Tell me, do you have trains in England?
Yes.
Since when?
For about 70 years.
But you have problems in England, I think.
I'm not sure. I wasn't aware of any.
So there it is. They have trains now in England. And in England, they eat meat for breakfast every day.
I think most people do.
Imagine, my dear Madame Azère, roast meat for breakfast every day.
Shall I open a window?
Are you warm?
Perhaps one day we shall do the same, René.
I doubt it. I doubt it. Unless one day we have the London fog as well.
And the rain. It rains 5 days out of six in London, I believe.
I read in a newspaper that last year it rained a little less in London than in Paris.
Five days out of six. Can you imagine?
Papa can't stand the rain.
And how have you passed this beautiful spring day, Madame Azère?
This morning I was out doing some errands in the town. There was a window open in a house near the cathedral, and someone was playing the piano. It was a beautiful thing, though just a few notes. I wanted to stop and knock on the door of the house and ask whoever was playing it what it was called.
And what was the tune, my dear?
I don't know. I'd never heard it before. It was just a tune like Beethoven or Chopin.
I doubt it was Beethoven if you failed to recognize it, madame. It was one of those folk songs, I'll bet you anything.
It didn't sound like
that. I can't bear these folk tunes you hear so much of these days.
She turns her head slowly so that her eyes meet those of Beryl, opening her eyes wider as they focus on his smiling face. How on earth can she be the mother of Lisette and Gregoire?
I do think I should open that window.
And you too are a musical man, is there? It's a good thing to have music in a household where there are children.
I have enjoyed evenings at the concert hall, though I should not necessarily describe myself as a musical man on account of that.
Nonsense. Music is a democratic form of art. You don't need money to buy it or education to study it.
patriotic songs. I have a particular fondness for them. The sound of bands playing and a thousand voices lifted together to sing the Marseillaise as the army went off to fight the Prussians. Oh, what a day that must have been.
But if you'll forgive me, that is an example of music being used for a purpose, to instill a fighting valour in the hearts of our soldiers. When any art is put to practical ends, it loses its essential purity. Am I not right, Madame Azare?
I dare say you are, monsieur.
There's something magnificent about how she turns this small-town bully aside.
What does Monsieur Raysworth think?
I have no view on that, madame. But I think if any song can touch the heart, then one should value it.
A little brandy, if you please, Azare.
Of course.
What about a game of cards?
Oh, yes, please.
What shall it be?
Excuse me, Renee, I have a slight headache. I think I shall go to bed. Perhaps Monsieur Raysworth would like to take my place.
Are you unwell, madame?
Oh, it's nothing. Please, sit down, everyone.
Good night, my dear. I shall look in on you later. Well, to cards, then.
Yes.
You will join us?
Yes, of course.
Poor Madame Azare. I hope she hasn't caught a chill.
No, no. It's just her nerves. Think nothing of it.
Such a delicate creature. Your deal, I think, Azare.
Nevertheless, a headache can mean the beginning of a fever.
Madame, I assure you that Isabel has no fever. She is a woman of a nervous temperament. She suffers from headaches and various minor maladies. It signifies nothing.
Has she always suffered from headaches?
It is a small price one pays. It is you to play, monsieur.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't concentrating.
And what these striking dyers need is someone to call their bluff. I'm not prepared to see my business stagnate because of the demands of a few idle men. Some owner has to have the strength to stand up to them and sack the lot.
There would be violence. The mobs would rampage.
Not without food in their stomachs.
The Azare's house is on the Boulevard de Conches, which runs parallel to the River Somme. Here broken up into small canals and water gardens. Monsieur Azare could be 40 or 50 years of age, Lisette 16, and Gregoire about 10. Whilst Madame Azare...
Sit down, Monsieur Raysworth. I have a meeting now with Mervaux, who is my senior man, and also, as a punishment for whatever sins I've committed, the head of the workforce. Yes? Mervaux, this is Monsieur Raysworth from England. As you know, he wants to learn a little more about our business.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour, monsieur.
However, as you also know, Monsieur Raysford's compatriots in Manchester are able to produce the same cloth as we do for 2/3 of the price.
What we need is more investment, unless... timid attitude on the part of the owners.
We are in difficult times. We have no money to invest, and we can therefore only retrench. Now, these are my specific proposals. Employees on salaries will take a cut of 1%. Those on piecework will be paid the same rate, but will have to raise output by 5%. Those not qualified to use the new machinery will be reclassified as untrained workers, and their rate of pay will be adjusted accordingly.
It's about what I expected. You appear to be asking us to settle for even less than the dyers, monsieur. I need hardly remind you what situation they are in.
Who is behind the dyers' strike?
What is behind it are the attempts of the owners to use slave labour at diminishing levels of pay.
You know what I mean. Who is behind it?
No one individual.
Lucien Lebrun?
As I understand it, the dyers are united.
Lucien Lebrun. I didn't think he had the courage.
There's something about your wife. She has a different life. Her blood has a different pulse to yours.
Are you all right?
Yes. Yes.
You're very pale.
I'm hot. Please, there's nothing wrong.
Madame is there?
Monsieur.
Allow me.
I'm not doing this right, am I?
You do it like this. Beneath each bloom that's died, you cut at a slight angle to the stem, like this, look.
Ah. I haven't seen your daughter for a day or two.
Lisette is with her grandmother near Rouen.
How old is Lisette?
16. She and Gregoire are my stepchildren. My husband's first wife died 8 years ago, and we were married 2 years after that.
I knew you couldn't be old enough to be her mother.
Oh, monsieur, please let go of my hand.
I heard sounds from your room, Isabel.
Monsieur, you...
Stephen.
You must stop this now. You must not humiliate me.
I have no wish to humiliate you. Ever.
You must respect my position.
I will. Here. I've let go of your hand.
Thank you.
Have you recovered fully now, Monsieur Raisford?
Yes, thank you. There was nothing the matter with me. I just felt a little faint.
It sounds like a problem of the circulation.
I don't know. Maybe one of the chemicals from the factory made it hard for me to breathe.
Perhaps you should see a doctor, then. I can easily arrange an appointment.
No, thank you. It's nothing.
I don't like to think of you having some kind of fit. I could ease it.
For goodness sake, Rene, he's told you there's nothing to worry about. Why don't you leave him alone?
And have you heard your minstrel again in your wanderings in the town, my dear?
I wasn't wandering, Rene. I was doing errands.
Of course, my dear. My wife is a mysterious creature, monsieur. No one knows, like the little stream in the song, whither she flows or where her end will be.
I don't suppose Monsieur Raisford is familiar with that song.
So you didn't pass the house again?
I believe I walked past it on the way to the chemist. But the window was shut and I didn't hear any music.
I'm proposing an afternoon in the water gardens next Sunday. I wonder if I might interest you in joining us.
Well, that sounds delightful.
I should think you're pretty handy with a boat, Rene.
I've got a feel for the water, it's true.
Listen to him, the modest old devil. If it wasn't for all the evidence to contradict him, he wouldn't even admit to being any good at business.
Isabel?
Oh, monsieur, I am delivering something to a friend.
I saw you go past the cafe I was in. I thought I'd come and see if I could help you carry it.
No. No, thank you.
Oh.
This is a friend. I'll just leave this.
No, come in, come in. Let me unpack the basket so you may take it home. Isabel hasn't introduced us properly, monsieur. My name is Lucien Lebrun.
Bon. Bonjour. Raisford, Stephen Raisford.
You must wonder what I'm doing here, monsieur. I bring food to Monsieur Lebrun from time to time, and he gives it to one of the Dyer's families. Some of them have 5 or 6 children, even more in some cases, and they find it hard to live.
I see.
My husband doesn't know. I couldn't involve myself with his workers, but the Dyers are a separate group of people, as you know.
Don't be apologetic. A gift of food is just an act of Christian charity. And in any case, the injustice is outrageous.
I think it's time I went back to the factory. Your husband is going to show me the finishing process.
You work with Azair?
I work for an English company who have sent me here for a short time.
You speak very good French for an Englishman.
I learned in Paris.
What has he told you about the Dyers' strike?
Not very much. I think he'll be more worried when it begins to affect his own factory.
Well, that won't be long, I can assure you. Madame, will you have something to drink?
That's very kind. Perhaps a glass of water.
I shall fetch one.
You mustn't think badly of me, monsieur.
Of course not.
I am loyal to my husband. No, please.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
your friend gone?
These canals were excavated by the Roman soldiers. The channeling of the water was to some extent a natural phenomenon.
Our water. Murky.
So, what we have really is man and nature working in harmony and cooperation.
The smell of rotten cabbages. Vegetation rots in the stagnant water.
The flow of the canal is so slow, our boat has no rudder. Twitch from the pole is all that is necessary to keep us straight.
All of us will be taken back by the earth. Beral's tongue will decompose into soil. Even Isabel. Her leg is pressed against mine, does she know? Even Isabel will end in the clinging earth.
What's that?
Oh, just a little carving I made with my pocket knife.
It's a woman.
Yes, I suppose it is.
It's beautiful.
You can have it if you like.
Can I? Thank you.
We should support the dyers by taking them food and clothes.
No.
But it will serve no purpose for us to go on strike.
Mayro, may I address your workers?
In a moment.
You have your own families and lives to consider. This is not a time for vain gestures. Not when we are under threat from foreign competitors.
Competitor here, the Englishman.
He is no threat. Are you, Monsieur Raceford?
No, I'm just an observer.
Now you may speak, Lebrun.
Thank you.
To put the dyer strike in context, people from the Valley of the Somme are flocking to Amiens in an effort to find work. Poverty and unemployment give the owners the opportunity to drive wages down. We must all stand together in this dispute, or we will all fall. We must think of our children, our husbands and wives. I ask you in the Azair factory to sign this declaration of support.
Talking of wives, we all know what they say about you, young man. You know what I mean. They say you and the boss's wife are very good friends.
You come forward and say that.
And we shouldn't be having this English spy in our meeting.
If you won't come to me, coward, I shall come to you.
Please. Get out of the way, English spy!
Come on, Monsieur Racer. You can't go around punching people.
My hand.
Now come on, before he recovers, before the police come.
My dear guardian, years ago I promised you that I would never again lose control of my feelings, that I would always pause and be calm. I am experiencing physical pain through writing this letter, for I fear I may have broken my hand punching a man. I think I have fallen in love, and I believe the woman, though she has not said so, returns my feelings. How can I be sure when she has said nothing? I am driven by a greater force than I can resist. I believe that force has its own reason and its own morality, even if they may never be clear to me while I am alive. I dream a bird is trapped in a room. I try to help it out of the window. Then the whole room is filled with starlings, flapping in my hair, bringing their beaks toward my face.
How did you hurt your hand?
I caught it in one of the spinning machines, madame, when I was being shown how to work it.
You can take your jacket off if you like, monsieur. Lisette and I don't consider lunch to be a formal occasion, do we?
No.
Thank you.
We don't normally drink wine, but it's not a bottle my husband is saving.
How did you come to know Monsieur and Madame Barral?
Be quiet, Lisette. I'm afraid Lisette is very impolite about Monsieur Berard.
That's so unfair. Did your parents always make you be polite about their silly friends?
I was brought up by my grandparents, then in an institution until I was taken away from it by my guardian.
I'm sorry, Monsieur. Lisette is always asking questions.
There's nothing to apologize for. Nothing at all. I'm not ashamed. I shall be returning to England soon. I'm wanted back in London. I shall be sorry to leave.
You can always come back and visit us another day.
Yes, I could come back another day.
Oh, I feel sleepy.
That's because of the wine.
I'm going to go out for a walk in the garden, and then I might go to my room for a little sleep.
All right. Have some more...
No. Look at me.
I'm going to do some sewing in my room, so...
Isabel!
No. Please, no.
You must. For God's sake, you must.
I cannot. I hardly think it would be right.
You were going to say I hardly know you.
No. Just that it's not right.
It is right. You know it's right. It's as right as anything can ever be. Isabel, I understand you. Believe me, I understand you. I love you. Isabel. Isabel.
Don't touch me. Let me think. Come to the Red Room.
So beautiful. I won't know how to look at you in this house. I shall give myself away.
You won't. And nor shall I. You will be strong because you love me.
Tell me about yourself.
What shall I tell you?
Your parents? Where were you born?
Near Rouen. My father's name is Formentier. I'm the youngest of five sisters. I'm only really close to Jeanne.
Have you ever fallen in love before?
When I was 18, I met a young infantry officer.
Name?
Jean Detournel.
What happened?
My father told him he was too old, too junior in rank, too undistinguished in family. I didn't love him. I didn't want him to marry me, but when he left... saying he wouldn't see me again. I felt agony, like bereavement. Like a child whose only source of love is gone.
And then you married Azar?
Not for years. My father heard of a local family who had gone to live here in Amiens when the wife died, leaving two young children. I met and liked Lisette and Grégoire, and I longed to be free of home.
I tore your blouse. I'm sorry.
I think I shall be able to conceal it and take the sheets to the laundry room undetected.
Are you sure no one will notice? What about whoever washes the sheets?
True. The maid knows which covers need to be changed and when. I'll give her tomorrow afternoon off, wash and iron them myself, then replace them before anyone notices.
You look well, Isabel. And you, Lisette, what have you done today?
Oh, I went for a walk in the garden. I went down to the end where it joins the others, where it all grows wild. I sat down under a tree and I think I fell asleep. I had a very strange dream.
And what was that?
I'm not going to tell you.
But how have you whiled away the day? Some more pressing errands in town?
No, just the usual things. I had to speak to the butcher's boy. They sent the wrong kind of steak again. The cleaner complained about the amount of work she has to do. Then in the afternoon I read a book.
Something educational, or one of your novels?
Just a silly thing I found in a bookshop in town.
Well, tell us about the story.
It was about a young man from a modest family in the provinces who goes to Paris to become a writer and falls in with the wrong kind of people.
And you, Monsieur Raisford, did you get through all the papers I sent you?
Yes.
Good. I'm thinking of proposing to Bérard that we embark on a day's fishing outing. We could take the train to Albert, and then it might be enjoyable to rent a little pony and trap and take a little picnic up to one of the villages beside the River Ancre.
Will I be allowed my own rod?
I'm sure we can find you one, Gregoire.
Do you fish, monsieur?
I did when I was a child, with worms and bits of bread. I would sit for hours by a pool in the garden of the big house near where we lived. I went with a few other boys from the village. It was rumoured that there was an enormous carp. There were certainly some large fish in the pool because we caught some. The trouble was that we were always being ordered off the land because it was private property. And when I went to school, there was no time for fishing anymore.
Well, you're welcome to join us.
That's very kind, but I think I've imposed enough on your family's outings.
Well, you must come. They have famous English teas at Tival.
Oh, we don't have to decide now. Would you like some more veal, monsieur?
Are you all right, my dear?
It's so hot in here.
Hot? You have a circulation problem, without a doubt.
I think I shall go to bed, if you don't mind.
Monsieur and Madame Bérard are expected any moment.
Good night.
A circulation problem. It's quite a common ailment.
Come in. What are you doing?
I couldn't bear it downstairs. I had to see how you are.
You must leave.
Yes. Stained glass windows, shafts of sunlight, dust motes, people praying. I wish I had faith like those people. What do they pray? With their bowed head, they submit. This cathedral is a pretense that our lives, a blink of light between two eternities of darkness, can be saved and held out of time. The difference between living and dying is only a matter of time. All are dead, piled up row on row. And all our efforts, we the living, with all our works and wars and great buildings, no more than the beat of a wing against the weight of time. I pray, save me from that death. Save Isabel. Save all of us. Save me.
You missed lunch.
I was in the cathedral. I lost track of time. Where's Lisette?
She's gone into town.
The maid?
I don't know.
We must stop.
Yes. Lisette is gone, but the maid...
The red room?
Yes. You go first and go up to your room. Give me 10 minutes before you come down.
All right. Let me kiss you goodbye.
Oh. Please. Please. Come to me.
I will.
I love you. The red room in 10 minutes. I was so afraid.
What do you mean?
I was afraid that you'd changed your mind.
After all that we said and did, how could you doubt?
My sister Jeanne said that men were not like women. That once they had possessed a woman, it was as though nothing had happened and they just wanted to move on to another.
I was convinced I wouldn't be able to find this room again. I thought it wouldn't be here.
It's always here.
Isabel, your husband... My first night, I heard sounds from your room as though he was hurting you.
Sometimes he becomes frustrated.
Have you attempted to have children of your own?
I used to dread each month. You know, the blood was like a rebuke. He said it was my fault. He wasn't cruel to me, but he just wanted to do it quickly so I would be pregnant. He sees the production of further children as an important proof of his standing in society and confirmation that our marriage is a balanced match. Each month he's become a little more desperate. I think he thinks there might be something wrong with him.
But he has two children.
Well, to start with, he was sure it was nothing to do with him. Then he was not so sure. He seemed to grow jealous of me because I was young. You're so healthy, he would say. You're just a child.
Does he hit you?
Yes. To begin with, it was to make himself excited. Then I think it was out of frustration and shame. When I protested, he said it was part of making love and I must submit to it if I wanted to be a good wife and have children.
Does he hit you very hard?
No, not very hard. He slaps me on the face and on the back. Once he wanted to hit me with a stick, but I stopped him.
And he has hurt you?
I have occasionally had a bruise or a red mark. It isn't the damage I mind. It's the humiliation. He makes me feel like an animal, and I feel sorry for him because he humiliates himself. He's so angry and so ashamed. It's absurd that he still pretends to come to my room to make love.
You must stop him. You must end this. You must tell him not to come.
I'm frightened of what he might do, or what he would say. I think he already tells stories to his friends about me.
Monsieur Bella?
Perhaps.
I will look after you.
Oh, dear boy. You are so strange.
Strange?
So serious. So removed. And the things you make me do.
Do I make you do things?
No. Not like that. I mean, I do things of my own accord, but it's only because of you. I've never done them before. I don't know if they're normal, if other people do them.
I don't know.
You must know. My sister Jeanne told me about the act of love, but that's all I knew.
I've known only two or three other women. It was quite different with them. I think what we do is its own explanation.
I don't understand.
Nor do I. Do you feel guilty?
I think perhaps I should, but I don't. You had a telegram today?
Yes.
From your employer?
Yes, 3 weeks, then I must return to England.
I've never loved my husband.
No?
If I ever had, I think it would have frightened him. He thinks it's such an unnecessary emotion.
It's a pity Monsieur and Madame Bérard are unable to be here.
Yes, Lisette, it is.
Their aunt must be very ill.
Are you going to catch the biggest fish?
I shouldn't think so. I expect you need special local knowledge. French fish are cleverer than English ones. Anyway, it doesn't matter how big a fish is. It's the sport of catching it.
I'll catch the biggest one. You wait. I bet you don't catch a bigger one than Stephen.
Who?
You mean Monsieur Raysford, Lisette.
Do I? Oh, yes. I suppose I do.
There are changes of clothes and towels in the baskets if you should want to swim.
Oh, this is out there.
The second train takes us from Albert out along a small country line beside the river Ancre. Sun appears from behind clouds banked high above a wooded hill and lights up the green valley of the river, alongside which the tracks lead to the station at Beaumont.
Bérard hasn't been here, but he says he's heard it's possible. These people seem to be properly dressed. What's everyone having? What about you, my dear?
A few days ago, she was Madame Azère. Now she's grafted to me in flesh and feeling.
Shall we all have the same?
Trout, to start?
If either of you had caught anything, we could have brought it with us and asked them to cook it.
We were in the wrong place. That boy the other side only had to drop his float in the water.
your eyes turned this way and that in social concern. But I'm amazed other people cannot read your infidelity.
And then the stew for everyone?
The local families, I presume they are local. Most of them are eating the stew.
Look at me. Look at me. Yes, Isabel. I don't think you could ever exhaust or satisfy me. My appetite splits and spreads and changes shape and enters my thoughts, my feelings. I won't return to England. Where will this end?
More wine?
Yes, thank you.
I'd like some, please.
You had some. Let's hope one of us catches something this afternoon.
Stephen?
Yes?
Oh, Lizette.
Didn't think it would be me, did you?
I didn't hear you creep up behind me.
You expected it to be someone else, didn't you?
I wasn't expecting anyone at all.
You see, Monsieur Stephen, I know everything about you and my stepmother.
What do you mean?
My darling Isabel.
I don't understand.
That day after lunch, I went out into the garden and I fell asleep on a bench. When I woke up, I walked back to the house. I heard sounds from an open upstairs window. They were very quiet, but they were such funny sounds. And that evening after dinner, I heard someone creeping, oh, so quietly along the corridor to her room, then tiptoeing back downstairs. Well?
Well, what?
What do you say?
I think you're a girl with a strong imagination.
Yes, I'm certainly that. I've been imagining all the things you've been doing, and I think I would like to try them. Isn't funny? You don't want my father to know the things I've been hearing.
You're a child.
No, I'm not. I'm almost 17. I'm nearer your age than she is.
Do you like Isabel?
No. I mean, yes, I used to.
She's been kind to you.
Yes.
Think about that.
I will. But you shouldn't have let me on.
Shouldn't have what?
When you gave me that carving of a woman, I thought...
He was sitting next to me. If it had been Gregoire, I would have given it to him. I meant nothing by it.
So it meant nothing at all?
I'm afraid not.
Stephen, I'm not a child, even if they treat me as one. I'm a woman. At least almost a woman. My body is a woman's body, not a child's.
I understand. It's difficult for you, especially without a mother.
What do you know about my mother?
Don't be angry, Lizette. I have no mother either, and no father. I do know, I do understand.
Perhaps you do. But I meant what I said. I want you to do those things to me.
I can't do that, Lizette.
Is it that I'm not pretty enough? Am I not as pretty as her?
Yes, you're pretty.
Touch me, then. Touch me as you touch her.
Stop it. Let go of my hand. Your parents are just round the bend in the river. I am not going to let you tease me or humiliate yourself. What I will do, if you like, is to kiss you very quickly, if you promise that you will go away and never say another word about this.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I mean, you have to touch me. Up here, under my skirts.
Very well.
Oh.
See, now you understand. You must never begin these things, and you will never, never mention a word of what you were saying earlier. Not to your father, not to anyone.
No. I promise. I want to go now. I want to go home.
What would we do in England?
We'd go and live somewhere remote, not in London. I would find work in a business of some kind. We'd have children.
And Lizette and Gregoire would lose another mother.
If you stay, you will lose your life.
You could stay and work here in the town. We could meet.
Isabel, you know that wouldn't work.
I must dress and go downstairs and be ready for when Lizette comes back.
I want to ask you something.
Lucien Lebrun. Yeah. There was a rumor that you and he...
Oh, Lucien? I think he's admirable, but really...
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have asked. It's just that...
Don't worry. Oh, don't ever worry. There's only you. No, really, I must get dressed.
Let me dress you. How does this fasten?
Let me.
I can hear your heart. Was it here that I touched by mistake? You will come with me, won't you?
So, that's it. The strike is over. The dyers return tomorrow.
That's good news.
So you could afford a little smile, Lisette. I haven't seen you smile for days. Your father's problems are over for a while.
Yes.
And when will you be leaving us, monsieur?
At the end of the week, as we planned.
Good. It has been an interesting time for us at the factory. I hope you've enjoyed it.
It has been a pleasure to stay with your charming family.
Then life as it was will resume for us here. Oh, yes. I heard the strangest story.
What was that?
They told me that at the height of the strike, someone was visiting Lucien Lebrun, taking him parcels of food to give to the dyers' families. Did you hear about that, my dear?
No.
I heard about a man in the town who helped the strikers.
Oh, dear. Dear me, no. This wasn't a man. This was a woman who used to go along secretly to wherever Lebrun lives.
The strikers had help from many sources, I expect.
But the strangest thing about this woman was that she was married to the owner of a factory. Not a dye works, but a factory dependent on the dyers. Now, isn't that a strange thing? I couldn't believe it when I heard it.
I don't think it's strange. It was me.
But my dear...
I took them food because they were hungry. I had no idea of whether they should be on strike or not. But I had seen their children going through dustbins and I felt sorry for them. I would do the same again, whether the people made cloth or shoes or anything else.
Lisette, leave the room. I discounted these rumours. I did not believe them, even though it was your name that was attached to them. However willful and selfish you are, I could not believe that you would ever, ever behave towards me in such a way. And you, monsieur, you had better leave the room.
No. Let him stay.
Why?
Let him stay.
Very well. But you will regret he is here, because a further reason I could not believe the rumours was that there was another piece of tittle-tattle that went with them, which said that the lady in question was also enjoying some liaison with Lebrun.
Not with Lucien. With Stephen.
With him?
Yes. With me. I pursued your wife. I seduced her. You must hate me, not her.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
With him? Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Renee. I meant you no harm. It was not done to hurt you.
This boy? This English boy? In my house? Where? In your bed?
It doesn't matter, Renee. It doesn't matter where.
It does to me. I want to know. Did you... In which room?
Oh, for God's sake.
And your father, Monsieur Formantier, what would he say? Oh, my God, my God. Bitch. Your father told me, and I never listened. In my own house. And my children, what will become of them? Bitch.
Do you expect her to humiliate herself for your pleasure? To sit meekly at your table in the knowledge that you will beat her later?
What did you tell him?
It doesn't matter what she told me. This is a house where everything is heard. How can you sit there and call her names after what you've done to her? This is a woman with her own life and feelings, and look what you have done to her.
You will leave my house within the hour. If you have any sense, you will never let me see you again.
Certainly I will leave your house. And I'm taking your wife with me, Isabel.
I don't want this. I don't know what to do or how to behave now.
I won't listen to either of you. How do I know that you love me, Stephen? How can I tell? And you, Renee, why should I trust you when you have given me so little reason to even like you? I won't be painted as some sort of whore by you, Renee. I'm a frightened woman. I'm just the same person I ever was, but you never took the trouble to find out what that was.
Oh, forgive me, I didn't...
Yes, I do forgive you. I forgive you any wrong you've done me, and I ask you to forgive me the wrong I've certainly done to you. I'm going upstairs to pack.
You go with him, and you're going to hell!
You're a wonderful woman.
What shall I say to the children?
Say goodbye. Tell them you're right.
No. I've done wrong to them. I can't pretend otherwise. I must just leave.
No goodbyes?
No.
What are you taking?
Photographs. My family. This is Jeanne. A coat. Shoes I can walk in. Quickly, Stephen, we must go.
I packed.
Yeah. What's happening? Why is everyone shouting? Why is Papa ripping the sheets of all the beds? What is he looking for?
What will they say? What will he say to Bérard and his friends?
It's not the first time a wife has left her husband.
We'll have to find somewhere to spend the night.
Are you sleeping again?
Pale faces beneath rose-coloured lights.
The hotel maid has left another meal for us.
Lisette's bloodless face.
2 days is long enough without food.
A lost girl. Many faces.
I think I'll go down for dinner today.
Eyes staring wide in disbelief.
Ah, Monsieur Raceford. Are you dining alone?
Yes.
Is Madame, your wife, quite well?
Quite well, thank you. Just a little tired. I expect she'll come down tomorrow.
Jeanne has sent me some money.
That's kind of her.
Tell me how you came to be in an institution.
My father worked for the post office. My mother worked in a factory. They weren't married, and when she became pregnant, he disappeared. From what I heard of him later, he seemed an ordinary man. Someone who took what he could find and preferred not to pay for it.
Is that what you think is ordinary?
It's how people live. My mother went back to live with her parents and eventually got a job in service as a maid in a big house.
You do not display any emotion when you speak of this.
She was fond of me, but never looked after me much. When she got pregnant again by a man who worked at the house, she went off with him. My grandfather taught me to fish and catch rabbits, how to steal and how to fight. When he was arrested on some small charge and sent to prison, the court ordered that I should be taken to a home in the local town. There was this big room with a ceiling that was so high it was almost lost to view. I had feelings of panic, that we were all being reduced to numbers, to ranks of nameless people. One day when I was visiting my grandmother, I had a fight with a local boy, and I hurt him much more than I'd meant to. His parents called the police and there was a fuss. A man called Vaughan came and talked to me for a long time. He asked if I was willing to let him be appointed my guardian. Mr. Vaughan hadn't married or had children himself.
So he was your great benefactor, like the good genie in a story?
Yes, except for one thing. I didn't like him. I thought he would treat me like his son, but he didn't. He was a social reformer of some kind. He never showed me any affection. He just wanted to know how much progress I'd made with my studies.
But you must have felt grateful to him.
Yes, yes, I felt grateful. I still do. I write to him from time to time. I will write to him and thank him when I'm 21 and he'll no longer be my guardian. When I finished at the school, he found me an interview for a job with a firm in London, paid for me to go to Paris. Then I was dispatched to Amiens. That's it.
That's all. That's all your life. You seem so old to me. I think of you sometimes as being older than I am. It's your eyes, I think. Those big, sad eyes. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
Go on.
I am unable to describe in detail what I have done.
Try.
Oh, I cannot bring myself to. It seems like a different season. I do not regret it, but yet I feel guilt.
Have you broken a commandment?
Adultery.
And you do not regret it?
I am pregnant.
Are you all right?
I feel a bit lightheaded.
What, like you used to in Amiens?
No. Yes.
Let's sit down. Here. I bought some cake. I think perhaps you haven't been eating enough. Here. I'll break this piece in half.
It's nothing serious.
Well, if you're not eating enough, that could make you feel faint.
Jesus Christ!
What is it?
That bird, for God's sake, get rid of it!
It's only a pigeon,
Get rid of it, please!
Shoo! Shoo! There. You can come back now. What on earth is the matter? You're trembling.
I know. I'm sorry, I'll be all right.
It's just a fat old pigeon. It wouldn't do you any harm.
I know it wouldn't. It's not that I think it'll attack. It's just some strange fear.
Oh, come on. Sit next to me and let me put my arm around you. That's right. My poor boy, is that better? Shall I stroke your hair?
No, I'm fine. I'm sorry to have made a fuss.
The noise you made.
I know. I've always hated birds. Something prehistoric about them. That time when I hit that boy, he'd been taunting me about some crows that the gamekeeper had nailed to a fence. I went up and stroked one to show I wasn't afraid. It had maggots under its wings and drooling, milky eyes.
So there is something that frightens you. Lie down. Oh, God. Oh, keep still.
The bleeding is not excessive. It's normal. A bruise inside, which is hemorrhaging, perhaps. There is a chance the bleeding could dislodge the child. You should take things quietly and not exert yourself.
My dearest Jeanne, I've missed you so much. I feel like a child who has been absorbed in her own game all day and suddenly stops, only to see that it is growing dark and she is far from home with no idea of how to get back. I am pregnant. I have still not told Stephen about it. I truly love him, but he frightens me a little. I'm not sure he would understand my joy at being pregnant, or how worried I am at the thought of losing it. He hardly talks about such things. Even when he has mentioned his own childhood, he speaks as though it was something that happened to someone else. I feel we have lost our bearings. I'm alone, like the child on the verge of nightfall. Although I am lost, I still think I can find my way home if I go now. I want so desperately to see you. I want so very much that you should hold the baby when it comes and take it in your arms. I want to sit on the bed in your room and feel your hand on my head as you start to comb my tangled hair.
What mad thoughts and impulses have pushed me out so far from you?
Isabel! Isabel, are you upstairs? Isabel? Isabel?
Isabel. Her photographs are gone. I'm like a block of wood such as we split in the yard at work. The axe is first embedded, then raised and driven to the ground, so that the wood is cloven in half from top to toe. No shred or fiber escapes the sundering. After drinking bottles of wine, I lie on our bed, my boots on the white cover. I think of nothing. I stare at the night beyond the window. I feel myself grow cold.
In part one of Birdsong by Sebastian Foakes, dramatised by Nick Stafford, Stephen Raisford was played by Toby Stevens, Isabel by Sophie Ward, and Azair by John Rowe. Lisette was played by Alison Pettit, Gregoire by James Bell, Berard by Alistair Danson, and Madame Berard by Carolyn Jones. Lebrun was played by David Brooks, Merrow by Gerard McDermott, and the director was Claire Grove.